Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Sweet Spot. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm standing in this week for Dave Clark, who's getting a well-deserved break. And I'm delighted to say I've been joined again by Steve Palmer to look ahead to this week's golf action. Steve, how are you doing?
Good morning, Wazza. Nice to see you. Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. Just got back from Henry Harwick's 40th birthday celebrations in Benidorm. Yeah, I got back on Sunday night, so... Yeah. Benidorm, my debut in Benidorm. Don't know whether you've been to Benidorm, was there? It's
a long time ago.
Yeah, it's my first going, and I was pleasantly surprised. But left Benidorm in low spirits due to Anthony Quayle. I mean, we've got a lot to discuss about last week's tournament. It looked so positive for three rounds, but didn't quite go our way in the final round.
Yeah, three tournaments to look forward to this week. And of course, as ever, like, subscribe, share and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. But we're going to look back, as Steve said, firstly, on last week's one event, which was the Australian PGA Championship. David Puig, the winner by two shots over China's Wenyi Ding, his maiden DP World Tour success. And, you know, I would sort of class it as a successful 2025 for David Puig. And, you know, you look at it and think, quite surprised that actually it's his only debut success.
Yeah, David Puig is a player that we love on Sweet Spot. We were on him at 14-1 for the Saudi International the previous week, and then he won at 14-1 last week. He had a terrible back nine in the final round of the Saudi International. I don't know whether you tuned into Sweet Spot, was he? I was in the loft when he carded a seven on the back nine and to blow his winning chances in Saudi Arabia. So, yeah, David Puig was in my bad books, but he dusted himself down from that poor back nine in Saudi and was brilliant last week and showed how good he is. I mean, he's a really talented rising star. And, Spanish golf's in a great place. You got his mate, Jose Luis Ballester, won the previous week in Saudi Arabia. So you got two Spanish youngsters. Well, three Spanish youngsters. Angel Ayora is another one that we love. Angel Ayora. Spanish golf in a lovely place, was it?
Yes, indeed. Anything else to take out of the Australian PGA in terms of your selections or anybody to watch out for, Steve?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I say, I was in Benidorm, so I was up all night, which worked out well for the Australian PGA Championship, so I could tune into that. And in round three, Anthony Quayle got into a share of the lead. So he's going into the final round, tied for the lead. Hopes are high. You know, we're on at big prices, lovely place returns. And then he started the final round of the Aussie PGA, par, double bogey, par, par, double bogey. That was a real, take the wind out of your sails job. Anthony Quayle was just a bit too much for him, was he? He'd never been in that situation before. He's in his DP World Tour rookie campaign. That was his first event as a DP World Tour member. He had Steve Williams as his caddy. Steve Williams was caddying for him last week and is caddying for him this week in the Aussie PGA, but poor old Anthony didn't produce a tiger-like final round performance.
I suppose it could go one or two ways from here, Steve. Now, I mean, that might have an impact on his confidence, but also you learn a lot from an experience like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know whether Steve Williams is going to be on the bag pass this week. I think it was just a 2 week offer from Steve Williams, but he tied 10th in the end. So he dropped from first to 10th, tied 10th with three other players. You get 80-1, 12 places, but obviously the fancier prices lured most people in, and you get fewer places. So to go from first to 10th was a real shame. And Elvis Smiley, another player we like, was a played some good golf last week, but too many car busters. He had a double bogey in round one, he had a poor round two, and he had a double bogey in round three. Was brilliant on Sunday. Second for greens in regulation on Sunday. He made 21 birdies in the week, but as I say, too many car busters, tied 19th. But don't give up on Elvis Smiley. He's got a huge future. And then Austin Bautista. I don't know if you were following Austin Bautista, Dave. I wasn't. I've dated you there. Yeah, Austin Bautista, fantastic character. Does a lot of humanitarian aid work. You should tune into last week's Sweet Spot, learn all about Austin Bautista. I thought he was going to do some timely humanitarian aid work for Sweet Spot punters, but with a giant place returns. He was like 400-1 last week and he started promisingly, but tied 25th. The Australian PGA, another test of character, was a we've got three tournaments this week, and that is exciting.
Oh, it is. Not only is it exciting to have three tournaments, but the calibre of the three tournaments as well. Absolutely quality fields across all three. So much to look forward to. We will get Steve's picks in a moment or so's time, but we will start, as ever, with chronological order, because there are two DP World Tour events this week, plus there's a PGA Tour tournament to look forward to as well. And we're going to stick in Australia to start off with, because it's the Australian Open at Royal Melbourne Golf Club. I've heard quite a few golfers over the years, Steve, describe this as one of the top 10 golf courses in the world.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. This is a golfing mecca, a golfing mecca. I'd love to play there one day. I haven't managed it yet. Royal Melbourne, 7,086 yards, par 71, only two par fives, 13 par fours, three par threes. Founded in 1891, you know, arguably Australia's premier golf course. It staged numerous Australian Opens, Australian Amateurs, Australian PGA Championships, Heineken Classics. The last Australian Open was in 1991. The President's Cup was at Royal Melbourne in 1998, 2011 and 2019. The World Cup of Golf was there in 2013. Pretty generous fairways, but you need to find the right angles of attack to well-guarded greens. Dance floors, extremely tricky, always fast. You've got to have a really top-class short game to compete here. Weather forecast is good, mostly sunny. Moderate breezes in round one, calm thereafter. 156 players going to post. We need a klaxon. We need a klaxon, Wazza. I won't put you through the rigors of the klaxon. I'll muster one because we've got an early start. That is the
There's
early
a subtle
start.
Difference between that early start klaxon and the weather warning klaxon. And that I think that was subtle enough to realise what it was.
I'm glad you spotted the subtlety there, Wazza. Yeah, the draw bias klaxon is the one that really scares us to death. But we're off at 7:45 p.m. It's like a midweek football match on Wednesday night. 7:45 p.m. UK time, the Australian Open starts. And get this, Wazza, get this. Coverage starts at 8 p.m. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. on Sky. I had a little clue yesterday when I was formulating my plans of when Rory McIlroy is going to be teeing off, because it was odd that we had 8 p.m. coverage. And lo and behold, Rory McIlroy tees off at 8:05 p.m. on Wednesday night. So you'll be able to tune in.
Perfect. And if you're a football fan, there's Premier League football on Wednesday night. You can watch off the back of the game and stay up all night and go from there. And then the following day, there's the Ashes. So it's basically a sports fest over the next few days to look forward to. Australian Open then, won by American Riggs Johnston 12 months ago. We've not had an Aussie winner here, I noticed, since Matt Jones in 2019. But again, it is a quality field, as already alluded to by Steve. Rory McIlroy at the top of the betting, followed by the likes of Minwoo Lee, David Puig, Adam Scott, Joachim Niemann. So some big names here, Steve. How many selections for the Australian Open?
We got three selections. Yeah, Riggs Johnston was a real party pooper for us last year because we were on Curtis Luck at big prices. We finished second. So, we hope for better luck this year. Three selections.
Three selections. And who is our main pick for the Australian Open?
Ryan Fox, who made a really promising return to action last week. He had 2 months off after 14th place in the French Open. Played a bit of social golf at home, but was generally just recharging his batteries, looking back fondly on an excellent campaign. He didn't have any injury issues. That wasn't why he was off. It was a planned break. Last week, he had two short spells where the rust told. He made a double bogey 7 at the 15th hole in round 2. He started the back 9 on Saturday with 5 consecutive bogeys. He said he felt a bit leggy around the turn on Saturday, but on Sunday, bogey 3. His greens and regulation numbers were really strong all week. Those 72 holes were needed to get the short game rust out of his system, I feel. Now he heads to Royal Melbourne, ready to contend on a course he likes. He showed a real liking for this course in 2013. He had the 2013 Talisker Masters there. He was in terrible form coming into that event. He'd missed his last 4 cuts. He was world number 855, but he fell in love with Royal Melbourne, finished 5th. And that kickstarted his Australasian Tour career. He won his maiden title in 2014. Then he won again in 2015. His maiden DP World Tour title came in Australia in the Perth Super 6 in 2019. He's now a four-time DP World Tour champion. The last of them, you'll remember, the 2023 BMW PGA at Wentworth. And this year, he's taken his game to a new level, I think you'll agree, Wazza. Two PGA Tour victories. The Canadian Open in June was the last of them. He was a hero for us in Canada. I think he can play the hero role for Sweet Spotters again this week. He's the second highest ranked player in this field, Wazza. But he's certainly not second in the betting, as you can see.
No, I would say, as go as far as to say that he's probably in the top five ball strikers on the DP World Tour. Absolutely brilliant when he's on his game. And certainly there'll be a few New Zealand fans around and about the fairways at Royal Melbourne, I'm sure, to cheer him along the way.
I agree. Yeah, he said that last week. He gets, they're similar characters. I know they give themselves a lot of stick in the sporting arena, but, similar cultures, similar characters. And that, he said he enjoyed seeing so many Kiwis in the galleries in Brisbane last week.
Yeah. So Ryan Fox is the first of three picks from Steve for the Australian Open. Who's pick number two, Steve?
Lucas Herbert, who has a fantastic Australian Open record. Four top tens from his last five starts. Six top 25s from his seven starts in total. Always be one of the brightest young players in Australia. He turns 30 on Friday, Wazza. I think it could be a week of celebrations for Lucas. He was born in Victoria. He knows Royal Melbourne well. He's proven his bottle all over the world. Three-time champion on the DP World Tour. Once on the PGA Tour. Once on the Australasian Tour. He won on the Asian Tour in May. A five-shot romp in Japan. He took 3 months off after the Open, got married to the lovely Erica. Best man was his caddy, the fellow with the long white beard. You probably recognize him if you saw him. So he had a lovely break. Now he's back in action, got the rust out of his system with 44th place in the New South Wales Open in the middle of last month. Then rounds of 70, 67, 69, 64 in the Saudi International for fifth place the week before last, took last week off. I think he's peaking for another bold title tilt in his National Open. Short game typically mustard. Great value option.
I'm wondering whether this is just meant to be. You were at Henry Hardwick's 40th last week. He's going to turn 30, Lucas Herbert, this week. It could be that link that we need here. Birthdays.
That's it. Now, there's links everywhere. I mean, I was in Spain last week and David Puig, Jose Ballesta, all that Spanish joy was rubbing off on me. I think you're right, Wazza. I like your thinking.
Lucas Herbert, then, is the second selection from Steve for the Australian Open. And we've got one more pick for the Royal Melbourne Golf Club this week. And who are we looking at here, Steve?
Wenyi Ding, a rising star of the sport. We've seen two Spaniards, as I mentioned, who are rising stars of the sport. Wenyi Ding is another one. He was a star at Arizona State University, former world number three amateur, won on the China Tour in 2021 when still an amateur. He was 47th in the 2022 Australia Open when still an amateur. Got his DP World Tour card through the global amateur pathway. Turned pro in October last year. We were on him for his first Australian Open as a professional. He finished fifth last year. We're keeping the faith and going in again. He's course proven. He was a playoff loser in the 2023 Asia Pacific Amateur at Royal Melbourne. That's a really top class amateur event. His current form is absolutely superb. Third place in the Macau Open on the Asian Tour. Sixth in the Hong Kong Open on the Asian Tour. And then last week, runner-up to David Puig in the Australian PGA. So everything points to Wenyi Ding showing his class again.
Okay, well, they are Steve's three picks for the Australian Open. Now, we can't leave this tournament without talking about Rory McIlroy. Just too short or not fancy for you this week?
Well, he's not teed up in the Australian Open since 2014. You're going to get a massive fanfare following him this week. I think that is the appeal for Rory McIlroy. I think one of the main reasons he's here is he wants to upstage LIV Adelaide. You know, LIV Adelaide is the best event on the LIV circuit. They have unbelievable amount of spectators flood in for that. 102,000 spectators for LIV Adelaide this year. And I think Rory McIlroy, by turning up for this Australia Open, he knows he can probably beat that mark. I would suspect that they'll get more than 102,000 spectators in for this one. So I think Rory's there to entertain and do whatever he can to entertain. I just think it's going to be hard from him from a competitive standpoint to get going again, because he played that same role in India. He liked being the showman in India. You do all the media work required. He was in India to put on a show for the locals. Then he had the serious business of the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, playoff loss there. Now he's had a little bit of downtime, and now he's back. As the lead act of in what will be a really intense atmosphere. I just find it hard to imagine Rory reaching the same level he produced in Dubai. So I can resist the short prices.
Okay. Well, McIlroy not on the list this week, but Steve has three picks. And in case you missed them, don't forget, of course, we will go over all of Steve's selections towards the end of the show. We're going to stick with the DP World Tour, though, now, and head to South Africa for the Nedbank Golf Challenge at the Gary Player Country Club. It's a case, Steve, this week of Nature Watch as well as Golf Watch.
Sorry, I was waving my fat finger around there. I just wanted to say one more point about that tea time. The 8:05 a.m. tea time for Rory is not ideal either, because on the first day, the wind, it's going to be a windy first day before the three calm days. And on the windy first day, the wind is sort of late morning and lunchtime is when it peaks. So Rory will be out. Rory's latter holes will be played in the toughest conditions of the day, I think. Mm. So that was another point worth making if you're thinking of getting on those short prices. But yeah, sorry, Wazza.
Probably was
testing the wind in it.
Let's press on. Quite a shed that it is in Melbourne at the moment.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, we'll go back. What we're mentioning there is the second DP World Tour event, of course, of the week, the Nedbank Golf Challenge. The Gary Player Country Club is the venue. As I say, I love to watch this event, not only because of the high quality golf, but also because of the massive nature experience that you get along the way, Steve.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think there's a very good casino there, Wazza. I know you like your casinos. Gary Player Country Club, Sun City, South Africa, 7,819 yards, par 72, four par fives. Nedbank host from 1981 through 2019. Then from 2022 onwards, in between that, we had two South African Opens at the Gary Player Country Club, 2020, 2021. We've also got loads of low-grade Sunshine Tour events that have been at this venue. It's an enormous course, but it plays shorter because of the altitude. Proper big boys layout, though. Strong ball striking, the key to success. Sunny, hot, humid, calm weather coming. Some thunder in the air on Thursday and Saturday, a field of 66 going to post, no cut. The prize money in the Nedbank dwarfs that of the Australian Open. And the Nedbankers have obviously got the guaranteed prize money from the fact there's no cut. So if money is your motivation, Wazza, I know it's not yours. We live for love and peace and joy and harmony. But if money is your motivation, you'll be at the Nedbank. If history and prestige is your motivation, then you'll be at the Australian Open. And I think Marco Penge, who we know used to like a punt in the olden days, you know, he hasn't lost his punting instincts, Marco Penge, because he was in the Australian PGA last week and he's left Australia for the bigger bucks and the Nedbank. So, yeah, Penge has still got his punting instincts, chasing the value.
Yeah, potentially there'll be a lot of money on show this week for those who are in the field at the Nedbank. And the previous winners include Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood, Brandon Grace, Trevor Immelman, even Martin Keimer, the list goes on. Jonas Veerman won by a stroke last year, and he will be fancying his chances of being in and around the top of the leaderboard again this time around. Victor Hovland is the favourite, like as Steve says, of Marco Penge, Christian Bezuidenhout, and Garrick Higo also towards the top of the betting. How many picks have we got for this week's Nedbank Golf Challenge, Steve?
We've got three in this as well. Place your bets by around 7 a.m. on Thursday morning, UK time.
Okay. Early start again on Thursday. And who is the first and main pick for the Nedbank?
Garrick Higo, who has been lighting up the PGA Tour this autumn. He nearly won the Worldwide Technology Championship for us 3 weeks ago. Led going into the final round, finished fourth. Prior to that, he was seventh in the Pro Core Championship, second in the Sanderson Farms Championship, fourth in the Bay Current Classic. So it's been close but no cigar for Higo lately. But people have had to play really well to beat him. This lad continues to impress me, Wazza. I think he's got loads of bottle. I think he's got the X factor. I think he's proven himself his entire life. He's been a prolific winner from a very young age. And the place where he gained a lot of that early swagger was Gary Player Country Club. That was where he won the 2019 Sun City Challenge. That was his maiden Sunshine Tour title at the age of 20. Then he won the Sunshine Tour Championship the following year. Then he won three times on the DP World Tour. Then he won twice on the PGA Tour. The last of them was in April this year, the Corrales Punta Cana. I think he's going to go home and have so much fun because he's never gone back. He's never gone back home playing so well. You know, he's a powerful driver, 19th longest on the PGA Tour. He's eighth in the PGA Tour greens and regulation stats. His short game is mustard. His putter is fantastic. Fantastic bold putter. I think the long wait, as you mentioned, the long wait for another South African winner of the Ned Banker ends this Sunday. They haven't had many lately, but I think he's going to give the fans plenty to cheer because, as I say, he's arrived in poor form from previous visits to Sun City and he's flopped. But he's full of beans now and he's stalking the top 50 of the world rankings. He'd love to get in the top 50 of the world rankings. So I think he's focused, confident. It's all about the hippopotamus. You said you wanted your animals, didn't you? You said you
wanted. He maybe doesn't get the credit he deserves, Steve, when you consider that he is 26 still and he's had 8 professional wins.
Yeah.
And maybe just kind of goes under the radar a little bit.
I think you're right. He has. And he's had some injury problems as well. He probably would have won more without the injury problems. He still nurses a few little niggles here and there. But he's just become really confident. He's got one of the best haircuts in the professional game. You know, as I say, I think he's got that X factor. He seems fearless. There's a fearlessness about him. You know, I know you could look at those series of near misses and think it's down to temperament, but I'm pretty convinced it's not. I watched all of them. And I think it was just the odd error here and there. I mean, he drove one into a bush that destroyed our hopes in the Worldwide Technology Championship. But it's nothing to do with temperament. You know, this lad's fearless. He's had a tough life. He lost his father at a very early age. That's got to toughen you up. And you can tell he's tough. And I'll be really delighted for Garrick Higo if he wins on Sunday.
Okay, so Garrick Higo is the first selection of three for Steve for the Ned Bank Challenge. Who's pick number two, Steve?
Thomas Dietrich, who made his Ned Bank debut in 2018. He opened with a 75, getting used to new surroundings, finished seventh. So settled quickly, loved the test of driving. He returned 12 months later and finished third. He was strongly contending for the title, but closed with a 74. And back then, that was the sort of theme of Thomas Dietrich. He was a nervous finisher back then. He had a runaway win on the Challenge Tour, but on the main tours, he just couldn't get over the line in front. He was 13th in the 2022 Ned Bank, closed with a 77. So we know he loves the course, but he's been an edgy finisher and he's been a maiden. Now he arrives full of belief. He's a PGA Tour champion. And, you know, we mustn't forget what happened in that Phoenix Open. It was incredible. Do you remember that one in February? I always test Dave's memory. I know you would have been watching the Phoenix Open in February. That was a 7-shot romp. Dietrich was amazing in that. Then this year, he switched his attention to the DP World Tour from the Irish Open onwards. 7th place in the Genesis Championship last time out. That was enough for him to retain his DP World Tour card. His drive has improved in the last few starts. His swing looked in mint condition in that Genesis. We were on him that week, so we were following him closely. I think he looks close to that amazing form he showed at the start of the year. So, yeah, Thomas Dietrich, huge runner.
Do you know what I like about that, Steve, as well, is that he's quite happy just to switch from tour to tour because he wants to challenge himself on different styles of courses. You know, he's won on all the tours. He just feels comfortable wherever he goes.
Well, that's it. He didn't want to lose his DP World Tour card. Obviously, he's a PGA Tour mainstay now. He's playing in all the big events after winning in Phoenix. But he didn't turn his back on the DP World Tour. He wanted to keep that card. That's where he's never lost a card in his professional career. He didn't want it. That was being the first time he had. And he was close to losing it. Yeah, you know, that's where he's started his career and still got an affection for it. And he did well. He did well. The boy did good.
So we've had a South African and a Belgian so far in our two of three picks. Who is selection number three, Steve?
Laurie Kanter, who clearly possesses the long game class to handle Gary Player Country Club. This is a driver's course for me. Kanter, so impressive with that club in hand. We saw him using it to great effect in the DP World Tour Championship last time out. 4 rounds in the 60s, finished a shot outside of the playoff. So only beaten by Matt Fitzpatrick and Rory McIlroy in that DP World Tour Championship. Kanter was second in the Genesis Championship that we mentioned at the end of October. He was decent in Abu Dhabi too. So I think, like with Dutree, it seems that Kanter is going to top and tail this year. Now, he was brilliant at the start of the year, went off the boil in the middle, now coming back strong at the end. You remember how good he was in January and February. He placed for us at a really juicy price in the Dubai Desert Classic. Then he won for us in the Bahrain Championship. I think that Kanter that we saw and loved in January and February is back now. He finished 21st on his Nedbank debut last year. He's got a solid record generally in South Africa. He won the South African Amateur Championship in 2010. He was third in the 2022 Alfred Dunhill. He was second in the South African Open in March this year. So, yeah, I see Kanter galloping for the finishing line in South Africa this week.
Yeah, another high-quality ball striker, a la Ryan Fox, who we mentioned, of course, earlier on in the show. So they are the three picks for the Nedbank. Can't go without asking you about those at the top of the betting in terms of this tournament, Steve. I mean, Victor Hovland's obviously the favourite. Been a while since he's been in the winner's enclosure. Is that part of the reason?
Yeah, an unappealing favourite for me. We've seen flashes of brilliance from Hovland this year. It's been a funny year where he's working on his swing at the start of it, and then he surprised himself by winning the Valspar. You know, he contended at the US Open. His iron play was amazing at the US Open, but driving has been the issue. Driving cost in the US Open, and poor driving will hinder him this week, I feel. He didn't need to hit any drivers last time out. He's playing in the India Championship. The Indian Championship venue, so short, so tight. Rory McIlroy didn't even put driver in the bag. Hovland didn't need to hit drivers, but he will need to hit drivers this week. You can't get around Sun City without hitting drivers. Mm. India has been his only spin since the Ryder Cup. You remember he got an injury at the Ryder Cup, didn't he? Couldn't play the singles, neck problems. Making his course debut this week, making his South Africa debut, actually. Mm. I don't know whether he's just been there on a holiday sometime, but he's never competed in South Africa as an amateur or a professional. So, not for me at the short odds.
Were you tempted by Marco Penge, considering his recent form?
Well, he's looking to build his kitty a little bit, isn't he? He's off to the PGA Tour. I think he's just ticking one off his bucket list here. This is another course debutant, and it's all happened so quickly for Marco Penge. You know, he can't believe what's happening. I mean, it wasn't long ago that he would have found it impossible to get an invite to the Nedbank Challenge. It's difficult for him to resist these things, because, as I say, he's gone from nearly losing his playing rights to becoming, you know, one of the best players on the DP World Tour. Now he's off to the PGA Tour. So, yeah, I think he's just taking the guaranteed money here. You know, the obviously no cut, bank a bit more money, head off your PGA Tour adventure.
Nice week in the sunshine in South Africa, if you can get it. Six picks so far then from Steve across the first two tournaments. We're going to head across the ponds now, because we have got the Hero Golf Challenge to look forward to, or Hero World Challenge, I should say, in the PGA Tour. Albany Golf Course is the venue, and normally this is hosted by Tiger Woods. Is Mr. Woods making an appearance again this week, Steve?
Yeah, we better urge Marco Penge to stay out of those casinos. It just popped into my head. He has got those punting instincts. Gamble responsibly, Marco, in Sun City. You know, Tiger Woods, unfortunately, just spends more time on the treatment table than he does on the golf course now, doesn't he? Yeah, more surgery. I don't know whether there's talk of Tiger playing on the Champions Tour, which I never thought I'd see the day.
No, I didn't.
But there's rumours abound that he actually fancies the gig. So maybe it's a case of just accepting that his body's not allowing him to compete on the main circuit anymore, and he wants to, he enjoys the competition. So it seems possible that he's going to go to the Champions Tour. I've heard PGA Tour bigwigs are flapping like canaries, because they're worried that more people are going to want to watch Tiger Woods on the Champions Tour than their main product on the PGA Tour. So interesting times ahead. No Tiger's playing in this, I'm afraid, was it? No, just host him.
No, I was just wondering whether he was actually just going to host and actually make an appearance. So it looks like he'll just be handing over the trophy at the end of the week. We'll look at the course in a moment, Steve, but we can't go any further without mentioning the fact that Scottie Scheffler's on for a hat-trick this time around. Back-to-back wins in this event, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of sweet spot regulars who'll be hovering over the Scottie Scheffler button in terms of backing him this week. It's one of those weeks where you kind of think somebody's going to have to play out their skin to beat him.
I agree with you, Wazza. And Scotty Scheffler is the absolute headline act in this. You know, you look at some of the names that are not attending this week. No Rory McIlroy, of course. No Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleet was not playing anywhere this week. No Xander Schauffele, not playing anywhere this week. Russell Henley, obviously, is so prominent in the world rankings now that the fact he's not there is noteworthy. Justin Thomas is injured at the moment. Don't know if you're aware of that. He's been having surgery. Colin Morikawa's got his feet up. Victor Hovland's in South Africa. Ludwig Aubert is probably busy watching football somewhere. He likes his Premier League football. You look at the names that are not here, and you can entirely understand the short prices about Scotty. But we'll come to him. We're at Albany Golf Club, Wazza. New Providence, the Bahamas. 7,449 yards, par 72, 5 par 5s, 8 par 4s, 5 par 3s. So an unusual course setup. He's hosted this event since 2015. Open, relatively rough-free, link-style track. You've got to make your score on those 5 par 5s. Sunny, warm and calm for the most part. A field of 20 going to post. No cut here either. And get your bets on by about 3:30 p.m. UK time on Thursday.
Scotty Scheffler, not only back-to-back winner in the last 2 years, but he actually finished runner-up in the previous 2 years as well. So his record is outstanding. A small field, like you say, Steve. How many selections for this one?
Just the two.
Two selections, and our main pick for the Hero World Challenge is who?
It's Scotty Scheffler, Wazza. Try as I might to convince myself otherwise, there's no logical reason for opposing Scheffler this week. The only crumb of comfort that the rest of the field could hang their hat on is his lack of competition since the Ryder Cup. But this is the ultimate professional. We know he'll have prepared properly for this. It was the same schedule he had 2 years ago. No competition since a disappointing Ryder Cup. He had a miserable time at the Marco Simone, you might remember. Then he got away from golf. Then he came back at Albany Golf Club and won by 3 shots. And it was the same schedule last year. No competition after the President's Cup. Got away from golf. Came back and won by 6 shots. As you say, Scheffler's Albany form figures, his full Albany form figures, 2-2-1-1. Victor Hovland is the only player who's ever managed to beat Scotty Scheffler in the Hero World Challenge. Victor Hovland is 7,500 miles away in South Africa, so you ain't got to worry about him. Scheffler loves this course, and it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. Dave forgets everything, but it's easy to forget, Wazza. Even you'll forget this. How much that Scheffler was struggling coming to this tournament in 2023. He was deep in a putting nightmare. He'd gone almost 9 months without a victory. He'd just been in tears in the Ryder Cup. But he thrived at Albany, as he always does. And that kickstarted an epic 2024. I was surprised, you know, pleasantly surprised by some of the early offers this week. We all this, you know, since the budget, all these, you know, the betting tax has gone up. Bookmakers going to get stingy. But the early offers about Scheffler this week were far from stingy, you know, because there's no weather concerns. We got clear, calm conditions, nothing freaky about the weather. I thought he'd be completely unbackable, but he wasn't. Plenty of punters have taken advantage with the early quotes. Now it comes down to personal choice, personal finances, whether the remaining quotes are worthwhile. He was a general 7-4. The general 7-4 has become a general 6-4. But the timing of the event, Wazza, you mentioned all these other sports going on. There was one you didn't mention. The timing of this event is it provides an angle for the working man, I feel. The Scotty Scheffler Luke Littler double is really attractive. It's really attractive. It's massively on. It's still available at 4-1. So they've both been getting backed. There's still 4-1 available on that double. You know, Luke Littler to win the World Darts Championship. He was 11-10 when we were talking about him last week. People are wising up to the fact that he's emphatically the man to beat, and he should be odds on, and he's going odds on. You're struggling to get evens now, but the Scheffler Littler double is so solid. Don't forget to use the enhanced win only markets on the golf. Yeah, a few firms will provide enhanced win only markets on the golf. So get your Scheffler on enhanced win only. you know, last year Scheffler was 5-2 and we were all over that price. 8 points win, but we were in much better form coming into that. You may not realize, David, since the Ryder Cup, we've had a tough stretch since the Ryder Cup. So it's hard for me to come on and urge the sweet spotters to go heavy on a Scheffler single. If you've got the collateral, I think it's a sensible bet. I think it's a great investment. But if you haven't and you need a double, then that's a fantastic opportunity, I feel.
I wonder if Scottie Scheffler and Luke Littler have ever met before. We have to get him over for the Sports Personality of the Year and see if they might be able to get together for that.
It's a great question. I was looking out from in Benidorm last week because I know he's playing a lot of exhibitions at home, but I remember reading a story that he went over to Benidorm and then just turned up in a dance pub and started stunning people there. Because he likes his Benidorm, does Luke Littler, but he wasn't there last week. No, we hung out in a darts venue. Silver's Dart Social. I promised him I'd TripAdvisor, but I don't actually know how to do that. Silver's Dart Social in Benidorm. Fantastic place. Dutch owner. Lovely Dutch landlady. I walked in there in my Michael Van Gerwen shirt. I had no idea. She was
actually drinks all around.
Oh, it was. She was unbelievably welcoming because I had the shirt on. We didn't even plan to go in. I was just walking around generally in my Michael Van Gerwen shirt, and then we saw the darts part. And we went in there, and there was a competition going on. We made so welcome. I don't know why I'm talking about that. Yeah, but Luke Littler wasn't there. Michael Van Gerwen wasn't there. But have that double.
Well, we'll talk about your second pick in more detail in a moment. But just a quick word on Scheffler's year, because certainly from a UK perspective, I think a lot of the gloss of his year is taken off by the fact that McIlroy did the Grand Slam with his master success. And then, of course, Europe won the Ryder Cup. And we shouldn't forget that he has a two-time major winner this year as well. It's just seems to be another year ticked off for Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? If you win half of the majors, then, you know, player of the year honours should be wrapped up, really. But it's only because Rory McIlroy's had such an incredible year. And I think that Ryder Cup played a role as well. You know, Rory McIlroy's inspirational in that. And I think the venues that Rory McIlroy's winning at, I mean, if he adds Royal Melbourne to the list, look, he's winning at Pebble Beach, he's winning at Augusta, he's won the Irish Open and entertained his homeland in on the island of Ireland. He's been winning like in iconic fashion, whereas Scheffler's just been going quietly about his business and winning, the big ones and the.
Just from a purely selfish point of view, because I'm presenting rarely this show and Dave Clark's normally in the hot seat, I wanted to ask you about what the chances were of Scottie Scheffler doing the Grand Slam himself in the next 2 years, shall we say?
Yeah, I mean, it seems an inevitability, doesn't it? I mean, your only concern would be the comments he made at the Open Championship. Remember the comments that we got just before the Open when he started talking about he didn't feel fulfilled by it, and he would advise his children to look at other things because, you win and you just have 5 minutes going, great, I've won. And then, they were really peculiar comments. And he said he would walk away from golf if it had a negative effect on his family life and whatnot. So, some unusual comments around the Open. But then you obviously must remember, a few days later, he's winning the Open easily. even with that mindset that week, he was still unbeatable. So, obviously, I think it's only a matter of time. It'll happen soon, won't it? It'll happen soon.
Yep, you would have thought so. Scottie Scheffler then is the main pick, not surprisingly, for the Hero Challenge this week. Who is the only man, Steve, that you feel can challenge him for the title?
Well, and you must remember this is a week for each way trebles, was it? Obviously it's lovely to have Scheffler in our each way trebles or win trebles, however you want to play it. So this is definitely a week for multiples. But the next best, I think I had a shortlist of four. We'll come to the others. There's only three players I think have the ability to beat Scheffler this week. The one I think is the biggest danger is Cameron Young. And obviously there's four places to go for here. Call to the four. So, I mean, we should be chasing some place money here. Some people might want all their eggs in the Scheffler basket and no other investments, but I think there's some place money to be had here. And, I want some insurance if something peculiar happens to Scottie Scheffler. You know, maybe he'll get that wine bottle out and start rolling the pasta. We've seen he's a pretty aggressive cook, isn't he? So maybe he'll cut his hand again. Maybe a policeman he'll upset a policeman or two. Anything can happen in this crazy world of ours, Wazza. But I expect Cameron Young to be the man to take advantage of any dip in Scottie Scheffler's performance. Young teed up in this event last year as the only PGA Tour maiden in the field. I mean, that gives you a sort of inferiority complex, I suppose, but that's no longer the case. He got that monkey off his back in August, a six-shot romp in the... there's been a lot of romping on this podcast. A lot of romping going on this podcast. Should be after the watershed. He had a six-shot romp in the Wyndham to get a huge monkey off his back. He was second so often, wasn't he? We were all waiting for Cameron Young to deliver. I wonder whether it would ever happen. But he was brilliant in the Wyndham. And then his PGA Tour form figures from the Wyndham onwards were 1-5-11-4-9. So he got the win, kept his foot down. He was brilliant in the FedEx Cup playoffs. It was a no-brainer for Keegan Bradley to pick him for the Ryder Cup. And then he emphatically justified that selection. He was top scorer for Team USA. He won 3 points from four matches on his Ryder Cup debut. It was magnificent stuff. He beat Justin Rose, you might remember, on the 18th green in that singles. Young was the catalyst for that comeback. If he'd not won the full point in that first match, then the comeback might not materialize. But he held a putt on the final green to beat Rose. Really brave. And I just think Cameron Young going forward is going to be really dangerous. Self-belief through the roof. And a huge runner this week. He was third on his Albany debut in 2022. He was first round leader last year and then faded after that. So as a PGA Tour main. So if he gets a first round lead this year, there's going to be no fading. He's going to relish it this time.
So Cameron Young is the next best. You mentioned there were two others, Steve, on the potential list. We can't go without mentioning them as well. Who did you leave out?
Yeah, short list of 4 out of 20 runners. No interest at all in the other 16. Yeah, this is a weak renewal. I mentioned all those players that are not playing. There's a lot of chaff in this, really. I mean, obviously not rubbish golfers. I'm a rubbish golfer. It's a bit harsh me calling them rubbish golfers. But relatively speaking, there's some chaff in here. But the two others, Bobby McIntyre, decent debut in this last year, finished seventh, has been playing well on the DP World Tour, won the Dunhill Links the other day. But he put me off with some comments after the DP World Tour Championship. He said he putted like a D word, was there? I'll let your imagination run right on what the D word is.
Not a demon.
He said I putted like a D. The producers get very angry when I swear on this. I mustn't even risk that one. So the point is he left the DP World Tour Championship low on putting confidence. And that won't be helpful because this is a low scoring week this week. I think he's still the biggest danger to my two tips, but his putting confidence is not there. So he's the one that could potentially ruin this otherwise surefire staking plan. And then the other one is Hideki Matsuyama. You have to fear him a little bit because he won this in 2016, before Scheffler started playing it, we might add. He won this in 2016, been keeping himself active in autumn. He's played a lot of golf. He played in the Dunlop Phoenix Open the week before last on the Japan Tour. But I found out he cracked a driver in that, was it? Cracked his driver. Bit of a negative. I know you can just replace it with same specifications, but it takes these professionals. They get quite sensitive when they lose a driver. So it's a really important club this week. So that was the end of Hideki Matsuyama's hopes of getting in my staking plan. So, yeah, I prefer Scheffler and Young.
Okay, well, that is all of this week's three tournaments covered. And we will, of course, touch upon what Steve might be up to this week in a moment. But we're going to get all of his tips. Firstly, a reminder of who he's selecting this week. It's a 3-3-2 formation. And we're going to start, Steve, with the three tips for the Australian Open.
Yes, sir. 3-3-2. And a great week for multiples. This is a really good week for multiples. So get stuck into doubles and trebles, I would suggest. Australian Open, Ryan Fox, Lucas Herbert, and Wenyi Ding.
And three more picks for the Nedbank Golf Challenge, and they are
Garrett Higo, Thomas Dietrich, and Laurie Kanter.
and just the two selections for the Hero World Challenge, and they are...
Win only on Scotty Scheffler, enhanced win only, seek it out, and an each-way investment in Cameron Young.
Okay, that is the selections for this week's three tournaments, three cracking tournaments to look forward to as well. Anything on your agenda this week, or is it just a quiet week after the Benidorm trip?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm keen to get back to Benidorm and get in Silver's social darts bar. It's one of the most incredible venues I've ever been to. But, yeah, be a while before I get back there, I guess. But, no, the girls are going to a christening in Brighton this weekend. So it's me and Tommy Tiger probably watching three golf tournaments. I mean, it's just they're all on the telly. It's wall-to-wall coverage, isn't it? I mean, yeah.
I'd be delighted just sitting there watching golf all week. I mean, to be fair, it's raining so much in the UK at the moment. There's probably not much else you can do.
That's it. Leaving the house is not really an option, is it? So, no, he'd be delighted with that. He loves watching the golf. It'd be like Scottie Scheffler's back. It puts a real spring in his step with seeing right. Scottie Scheffler about it.
Do the kids like the darts as well?
Yeah, not long, is it? Not long now, is it? December the 11th. We've got a darts podcast coming out soon, just before the tournament starts. We must advertise that. We've got a World Championship darts podcast coming your way. So it's all happening, golf and darts.
It is. And next week, we've got two more tournaments to look forward to. The Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa and on the PGA Tour, the Grant Thornton Invitational. Dave will be back with Steve next week for that. In the meantime, thanks very much for watching this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, comment, share and subscribe on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Enjoy your golf this week and please remember to gamble responsibly.